Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. And the program is being paid for by Davidson Advertising and Alan Shoes. This is show number 47, and today is Saturday, March 27th, 2021.
And hello, my name is Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Alan's Shoes in Tucson.
You know, Alan, it's hard to believe that the first quarter of 2021 is almost over.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm very interested in what happens in the second quarter, Rob.
Yeah, I think we all are. You know, we don't have a guest today, but our show is going to have lots of information that should be of interest to our audience. We have some news articles that Alan and I have curated that pertain to areas of business concern, pandemic concerns, political concerns. Both pandemic and political issues, as we've discovered, have an impact on helping businesses get back to business, and that's what this program is all about, helping businesses get back to business.
That's right, Rob, and you and I have decided one topic we needed to cover were the actions of state government and how they impact local businesses here in Tucson. So our current concern, and this has changed hour by hour over the last few days, is the new news and reactions to the news, and is a person going to think, you know, what's a person going to think? How are they going to react given this recent state decisions about mask and mandates? How's the city going to react? And for every segment today, Rob and I are going to share with you some of our personal analysis of what we are seeing, the struggles each of us are having, and how we think people are reacting to the most recent news and what that might mean for business in Tucson. But first, Rob, you know, a few minutes ago, you called my attention to the fact that the state had reversed their decision. So I pulled up that article, and I thought I'd read it right now. The state of Arizona has reversed its position, will allow FEMA and Pima County to open two federal sites to distribute vaccine to some of the most hard-hit and hard-to-reach areas in Tucson. In a letter sent to FEMA and to the county, the state director of health said Pima County has provided their assurances they'll be able to support these sites. Following a week of back and forth after the state first refused to support the site, Governor Doug Ducey said on Wednesday he would reconsider the state's decision, which led to today's announcement. What it means is two sites, the El Rio Neighborhood Center and the Event Center at Keno, will receive 6,000 doses a day for 8 weeks from FEMA to serve an underserved and hard-hit area. Isn't that great news, Rob?
It is good news, Alan, and I'm glad that the governor finally relented. I guess they didn't think that we could handle it down here, but I think our county and our city have done a pretty good job of trying to get this vaccination situation going. So it's good news, and hopefully we'll get all these folks vaccinated, and that's going to make things better for all of us. And because, you know, the governor reversed a lot of the orders the other day, Alan, and it's wide open again in Arizona. You know, many businesses said they would continue to implement safeguards, including mask requirements and social distancing, even as Governor Ducey gave them the okay to stop so the other day. The governor's order to lift remaining restrictions intended to stem the COVID-19 allows businesses to decide how to proceed. Most of those contacted by the Arizona Republic indicated that they would move forward with caution, keeping requirements and plexiglass barriers in retail locations, along with encouraging employees to get the vaccine. Cities and counties across Arizona enacted mask mandates last summer as the state experienced a spike in cases. Those mask requirements are no longer enforceable except for in government buildings and public transportation, according to the governor's order. Businesses, including Fry's and Safeway, along with some small establishments, said they plan to keep the rules in place. Many Arizonans have gotten used to wearing masks and likely won't discard them overnight. But mask enforcement could be tougher without the shield of local mandates. By and large, compliance has fallen to individual businesses, which can place cashiers, clerks, and managers in tough spots as they try to enforce mask use. Those confrontations with customers who refuse to wear masks may escalate now. So that's kind of a change, Alan, and it's going to be interesting for business owners like you on how you're going to deal with this.
You know, I think that the problem is that each one of us has a different interpretation about any change that will happen. To the people that hate masks and really didn't want to wear them. What the governor did the other day means that they don't have to wear it anymore. And to those people that think that, you know, we definitely need to remain masked up, those people think that what the governor did was, you know, overreaching and too quick because, you know, Rob, a lot of these younger people haven't even had a chance to get the vaccine yet.
It's only about 30%. And, you know, Alan, let's be honest, we don't know if this vaccine is going to work long term. I mean, with these variants coming out, I mean, nobody really knows. And doctors from the Maricopa County Medical Society warned yesterday that Governor Ducey's sudden decision to ditch the mask mandates and lift coronavirus restrictions could result in a new surge of COVID-19 infections. With less than 30% of Arizonans vaccinated, doctors urged people to continue to mask up and follow CDC guidelines. So, you know, the doctors are not behind what the governor did, not one of them. So we'll just have to play it by ear and see how it goes.
You know, some people who receive the vaccination think they don't even need to wear a mask. And here's an article from KOLD-TV, which was on their website at KOLDTV.com. And it says, while vaccinations continue to increase in Pima County, business owners are finding customers are using it as a reason to not wear a mask. Sheila Merriman, who works at a store in Catalina Foothills, says it's become a problem recently. They're just saying they're vaccinated, thinking it's going to get them into the door. Merriman has high-risk coworkers who haven't been able to retrieve the vaccine yet, which leads to increased worry. So she put up an additional sign on the store this week, reminding customers that vaccine or not, a mask is still required in her store and by the county's mask mandate. By just putting the note on the door, we've already seen people this morning come up to the door, look at the sign, turn around, go back to the car, get their mask on, and come in. Pima County's mask mandate is still in effect, and this was as of last week, and local health experts continue to ask vaccinated people to mask up in public since there's still a lot of unknowns about the vaccine. How long they provide protection, we don't know how protective they are against variants, said Jason Ground with the Pima County Health Department. We're still learning a lot about these vaccines in particular, and how they operate in the real world. With a little over 15% of the population in Pima County fully vaccinated, again, that was last week, it's going to be a while until the mask can be left behind. Cases may be continuing to trend down, but health officials want to keep it that way. We're not out of the woods yet. You can see light at the end of the tunnel. Things are getting better, but there's still a lot we don't know. We really want people to be cautious, said Ground. And Merriman said, no sale is worth the price of her safety. It was really unusual because the article didn't even name the name of the store that she worked in, Rob.
Yeah. It's an interesting prospect. You know, I was at the doctor's office the other day for my skin check, and the doctor asked me if I'd gotten my vaccination. I said yes, and she thanked me, and she said, you'd be surprised how many of our patients don't. And she said it was quite apparent that there's a large segment of the population that's not going to get it done. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. But
you know, I don't know what they're fearful of. You know, you and I all got we got polio shots, we got measles shots, we got all these things. We protected ourselves. Now it seems, I don't know, was it political back then?
I don't think so. I remember as a kid, you might remember we got the polio vaccine. It was in a sugar cube. I remember getting it at the Safeway store, you know, because they had updated the vaccine, and now you could do it with a sugar cube. And I remember standing in line and taking a sugar cube, and boom, 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 we had the vaccine, and nothing happened. And to my knowledge, you know, polio has not been around for a long time or hasn't been a problem. So I don't get it either, Alan. I know a lot of people are afraid because they think it was rushed to market, but we'll see what happens. People just, you know, we live in a society, and I think we have to take responsibility for one another. And I'm hoping that at some point people will realize that, and we can move on and get back to where we were, because I know that's what the governor wants by stopping the mask mandates and opening up the state. Everybody wants to get back to normal, but the last thing we want is to have a big surge and the hospitals get full again, and then we have to shut things down. That's the worst thing that could happen.
Well, none of this is good for business. With this uncertainty, all the you know, discussion about it, whatever. However, there are a few businesses that are trying to make some excitement for their businesses, as well as rewarding people that get the vaccine. Rob, you have that article.
I do, Alan. Krispy Kreme the other day announced that it's launching a year-long promotion to give a free donut to anyone who's received a COVID-19 vaccine. Although most people won't change their mind on the vaccine solely because of a donut, promotions like this could help build enthusiasm around the vaccines overall. Another company called Walled Lake, this is a good one, Alan, they're offering a free marijuana joint to anyone who's received a COVID-19 vaccine. Detroit restaurant Oak and Reel will offer 50% off to dine-in customers who've been vaccinated. Rumble Seat Bar and Grill in Massachusetts has offered 20% off Monday food orders for vaccinated patrons. And the Village Tap Bar in Chicago will give a $10 gift card to the first 1,000 people who show them proof of receiving a vaccine. Other companies are offering freebies. So, you know, might be a good way to get people in.
We're thinking about it. We're not sure. You know, there's been a little negativity about it that Krispy Kreme decided they're going to have a lower promotion, but still allow you to get a free donut even if you didn't get the vaccine, because they were worried about some backlash. But you know, we haven't figured it out. Well, we're going to do it out of shoes, but. You know, listen, you got to take every opportunity as to try to reach your customers. I think that's the best. That's the best story here. You know, try to reach your customers, connect with them, and discuss what's going on. Don't you think, Rob?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to figure our way through this. And at the end of the day, we're going to all be better for it, Alan.
I agree. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Rob and I prefer to think of ourselves as a moderate broadcasting team. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. If you know of a long-term Tucson business that should be highlighted on our show, please call Rob, again, 629-9555. And please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen's Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR. 298-DOOR. ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing, featuring our 5-crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you've come to trust. Our 5-crown service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our 5-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Welcome back to business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes. Rob, in this section, we have our political notebook, and we have a few articles that are of interest that are a little political, but there are some things that we can all learn from each one of these, don't you think?
I do, Alan. And, you know, immigration seems to be on the boilerplate right now. And this is an interesting article from Gila Bend. Gila Bend has declared a state of emergency over migrant families being dropped there as a growing number of border communities grapple with how to get the new arrivals to shelters in bigger cities that can help them. The situation simmering there and other communities near Arizona's border with Mexico comes as larger groups of asylum seekers and unaccompanied minors show up at bigger cities. Gila Bend Mayor Chris Riggs announced his emergency declaration Tuesday, saying the town does not have the resources or funds to support migrants, many who arrive with hopes of seeking asylum and making their home in America. According to Riggs, "I've got nothing here. I've got no shelter, nowhere to put them." He said they'd be like sleeping at the park, and I'm not going to do that to little children. Gila Bend, with a population of 2,000, does not have a hospital or shelter. It's 75 miles north of the U.S.-Mexican border and about 60 miles southwest of Phoenix. The mayor's declaration came after federal agents on Monday dropped off 16 people, including young children, at a park in town. The group included six families, five from Venezuela and one from Chile. To drop people in basically the middle of nowhere, it's 30 miles to the next type of town, and that's 30 miles of open desert. So especially come July and August, we're going to be finding bodies, according to Riggs. So, I mean, Alan, any of us who have driven through Gila Bend know that that's not a spot where you want to be dropped off and left. I mean,
yawn and a half if you take the I-10, you know, diversion through town. I mean, it's not very big at all. Why would federal agents be dumping people there? I mean,
I guess it's out of sight, out of mind. You know, they're putting them there and hope, you know, I guess they're hoping that they'll get picked up or whatever, but that's a heck of a place to leave people. And like the mayor said, you know, it's 120 degrees in July there. So, not a good plan. This plan needs some work, I'm afraid.
You know, Biden's getting a lot of critique about, you know, what's going on in immigration. And we know there's a little bit of a surge going on here. But I think that you're going to clear up some of the controversy by reading an article about Biden and immigration, aren't you?
Yeah, Alan, in his first news conference as president, President Biden mostly stayed on message and even cracked a couple of jokes while addressing a number of key issues facing his administration, such as immigration and uniting the country. The press conference, which lasted roughly 62 minutes, took place on his 65th day in office. In his first months of this presidency, Biden has faced an influx of migrants heading to the U.S.-Mexico border, two recent mass shootings, and growing concerns about whether Congress can come together to pass key legislation. In the last week alone, there have been two deadly mass shootings. He was asked only once about the topic of gun control. When asked whether Biden will send legislation to Congress, sign executive orders, or send money to cities and states to address gun control, the president answered, "All of the above." He then quickly pivoted to talking about infrastructure legislation he plans to unveil next week. A large portion of his press conference addressed how the Biden administration is handling an increased number of migrants coming to the U.S. border. He defended his immigration policies, saying he would never apologize for ending policies the Trump administration put in place. Biden has begun unwinding several of Trump's hardline immigration policies, like the migrant protection protocols, which forced migrants to wait in Mexico for their immigration court hearing. Biden said he would never tell an unaccompanied child who ends up at the border that they were just going to let them starve to death and stand on the other side. No previous administrations did that either, except for the Trump administration, according to Biden. But he's facing criticism for the issues at the border as the administration continues to only accept migrant children and some families. Republicans and Democrats have called the situation on the border a crisis, a term the White House has refused to use.
You know, I don't know if it's a crisis or not, but I know it's not good. And you and I have personally discussed that, you know, children being separated from their parents is just not only bad policy, it's bad human being tactics. I mean, we need to find a way to keep these families together, but at the same time, you know, if they are separated, we need to be able to match them back up later, don't you think?
Well, you know, and I think the bottom line is the Congress is going to have to get together and come up with some immigration plans that work. I mean, they've been fighting this out for years, forever and ever for years, and nobody can come to an agreement. So they need to come up with some kind of agreement to fix this problem, whatever it is, because this can't go on. I mean, it's a humanitarian crisis, and we just can't let people suffer down there. And like dumping people in Gila Bend, we just can't let that happen. I mean, that's just not the way we are, Alan. I'm sorry. We're in America. We just don't. We don't play that way.
You know, we also this week have noticed that it's a furthering of the political divide. You know, Biden can't do anything right according to the Republicans, and you know, there are a lot of people that are holding fast to their positions, even those that are still saying, I've noticed this on Facebook, that Biden, they claim that Biden's an illegitimate president, and they're still claiming that the election was stolen from Trump. And even in light of the fact that some of those lawyers are backtracking on their statements, you have an article about one very prominent lawyer who's been backtracking on her statement, don't you?
Yeah, this is an interesting story, Alan. Former President Donald Trump's former campaign lawyer Sidney Powell is apparently backtracking on her claims that voting machines were rigged in favor of now President Joe Biden in the 2020 election. After Trump's loss, Powell repeatedly argued that the Dominion voting system's machines were manipulated to weigh votes for Biden more heavily than those for Trump, but she never provided any evidence to support the dubious accusations. Now that Dominion has filed a massive defamation lawsuit against her, Powell is claiming that no reasonable person should have taken her prior claims seriously. Powell moved to dismiss the lawsuit on Monday, arguing that no reasonable person would conclude that her accusations of Dominion being part of an election rigging scheme with ties to Venezuela were truly statements of fact. She has moved to dismiss Dominion's defamation lawsuit. She argues that when she accused Dominion of being part of an election rigging scheme with ties to Venezuela, no reasonable person would conclude those were actually true statements of fact. Considering that Powell's previous assertions of election fraud helped inspire the January 6th insurrection, many Twitter users elected to condemn her actions. And in fact, yesterday, Alan, Dominion sued Fox News for $1.6 billion, I saw, over the same allegations. So I think they're going to be continuing with this defamation lawsuit against these folks, and we'll see how it plays out in court. It's going to be very interesting. I tell you something, the lawyers are going to be making a lot of money on these cases.
They can go on for years because both of the, you know, the Fox News obviously is well backed with a lot of capital, and they could play that out for years. But I think they've already taken steps, from what I've heard, to tell their hosts to calm down the rhetoric a little bit, because some of them are trying to at least not repeat that claim about the Dominion machines. But here's a guy, you have an article about him, that's not willing to back down on any of his claims, I don't think. It's Mr. Pillow Guy, My Pillow Guy.
Yeah, My Pillow Guy, Mike Lindell, he took a swing at Fox News this week, complaining that the conservative network, which essentially plays his MyPillow commercials on a loop, isn't giving him a platform to peddle his baseless voting machine conspiracies. Fox might be in on a conspiracy against MAGA heads, Lindell ultimately suggested. The pillow mogul, who has become the face of a dead-end MAGA coalition still trying to overturn President Joe Biden's election victory, appeared on far-right pundit Eric Metaxas' radio show on Monday to discuss his continued efforts to prove the lie that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. So he's they're working on their own social media platforms now, Alan, and their own network. So we'll see what happens with this, with Mr. Lindell and Mr. Trump and this whole group. It's going to be an interesting
time. It should be no surprise to Mike Lindell that Fox News had to pull off a little bit and not, you know, continue on this on these accusations. He's got to live with the consequences, you know.
He does, and
he's,
you know,
not going to have Fox News.
And he's not going to have a lot of people buying his pillows anymore. Several stores are not carrying them anymore. I mean, he's had quite a bit of pushback on this. So, you know, actions have consequences sometime. And we're coming up on the news, Alan.
I got it. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. Please call Rob at Davidson Advertising. If you have a guest for our show, if you want to sponsor our show, we're back to business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Next segment, we'll have more things of interest. We're going to break for our news and our commercial sponsors.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. An iconic movie scene from more than half a century ago got it right.
I just want to say one word to you. Plastics. There's a great future in plastics.
Plastics are often overlooked to this day, but prices are on a tear right now. Production was initially slowed by the pandemic, the active hurricane season took some Gulf Coast facilities offline, and the final blow was delivered by the Texas freeze.
As much as 60% of plastics capacity is still offline a month after the storm.
Bloomberg Energy reporter Kevin Crowley says while supplies declined, demand did not.
Demand for plastics through house building, through consumer goods, packaging has been very, very strong throughout the pandemic.
One executive has said it could take until the fourth quarter to get production back to normal, but even that is not guaranteed.
But of course, you know, we've got a long way to go before the fourth quarter. We've got hurricane season just around the corner in June, July, August. So there has to be a lot that goes right.
Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio. Yeah.
CBS News Brief. In Georgia, a look at the damage from last night's deadly tornadoes. Chris Stallings is with the state's Emergency Management Agency.
Georgia Emergency Management responded as soon as we could get here, and immediately we went into action. We were very much proud of the response of the state. Governor Kemp immediately signing a state of emergency so that we could bring in the resources to do what we needed to do.
CBS's Jeff Berardelli says more storms are on the way.
Everything comes together for a widespread severe weather outbreak from the Tennessee Valley and Mississippi Valley all the way east to the Middle Atlantic area.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti says there's one community there showing what vaccine equity should look like.
If you live in the zip code, you can rest assured you'll get priority. If you don't have internet access, we'll sign you up on site. All those barriers that keep people of color from getting what they deserve are completely knocked down here at Kedron.
It's described as a model that can save lives. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is a wide-width specialty store located at 7366 North Oracle Road, about a block north of Ina. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes focuses on wide and extra wide widths of men's and women's shoes. The best selection of wide width shoes in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location that aren't carried at our stores, such as Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. We also carry the best selection of wide widths from both Brooks and New Balance. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
For years now, you've heard me say, don't get steamed, call Steamy. But have you ever wondered why? Imagine this. You have a leak, overflow, or some sort of water intrusion into your home. It may have even caused mold to start growing. So you get on the internet and look for someone to fix it. You find some advertisements online that look promising, call around, and probably hire the first person that says they can get out right away. You wait for hours on end, and when the doorbell finally rings, you're greeted by a fast-talking salesman that is anything but professional. And then, you guessed it, you got steamed. By what I call the water damage wannabes, and they are well on their way to taking advantage of your bad situation. This is why the very best plumbers, realtors, roofers, and insurance agents only refer Steamy Concepts to their customers for mold and water damage restoration, period. Steamy Concepts works with all insurance carriers and will always come out for free 24 hours, 7 days a week to inspect your mold and water damage problems. Go to steamyconcepts.com to schedule us out right now.
ROC number 291-200.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, my wife Annette, and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson. Rob, we're now at a couple of articles that we pulled up. You have an article about what most Americans won't do.
I do, Alan. A growing share of Americans would feel safe resuming activities like dining out or flying within a few weeks of their second dose of COVID-19 vaccination, but 25 to 30% would wait until the nation reaches herd immunity, according to a Harris Poll survey for USA Today. Their attitudes bode well for what's expected to be a historically robust recovery from the coronavirus recession. But the sizable share of people who prefer to wait until at least 70% of the population is immune could mean a less roaring launch to the rebound if some activity shifts to late summer and fall from mid-year. There's no doubt that Americans who have largely been confined to their homes the past year can hardly wait to bust loose. 33% of those surveyed say they would feel safe eating indoors at a restaurant a few weeks after their second shot, according to the poll. But by comparison, 29% of those polled said they would be comfortable dining out no later than a few weeks after the second dose. In the latest survey, 7% said they would feel comfortable eating indoors at restaurants after the first dose, 7% immediately after the second dose, and 19% a few weeks after their second dose. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has said a person is considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after their second shot. Meanwhile, 28% would feel medically safe traveling by air a few weeks after their second dose or earlier, up from 25% in January. And 31% would feel comfortable attending a concert or sporting event in that time frame, compared with 24% in January. Vaccine is certainly a game changer for getting back to doing things the way we love, said John Gerzema, CEO of the Harris Poll. But it's going to be a while. Just going to be a while, Alan.
I'm not quite sure that I am going to be ready for quite a few months to go to a concert or a play or even to a movie theater. But, you know, we are keying in on that 2 weeks after our second dose sort of message as being at least a time when we can, you know, have some semblance of order here. And it's just the question is when, whether it's 2 weeks after everyone gets a vaccine or enough people get their vaccine or just, you know, my staff and I. I'm just not sure, Rob.
Yeah.
What do you
aren't.
Think?
Well, it's all uncertain, Alan. And again, with these variants out there, you don't know if 2 weeks after your second shot, if you're still going to be protected against the variants. So, I think, you know, caution is going to be what we need to go by and, you know, take it one day at a time. I know my wife and I are thinking about going on a little trip for our anniversary next month, and it's been difficult deciding where to go because the last place we want to be is in a casino someplace or somewhere where there's big crowds, and an airplane is certainly not going to be part of our trip. So, you know, these are things that we never really thought about in the past, and now it's a big part of our decision-making because you don't want to go away and be worried all the time. And you know, if you're going away to have a good time, you want to have a good time. You don't want to worry about getting sick or getting somebody sick. So I think that's the big key right now.
Yeah, that's a concern. You know, pivoting over here to some how businesses are doing, we have an article about one business that's actually making a resurgence, and they actually didn't necessarily close as part of the pandemic. I think they closed pre-pandemic. Isn't that true?
Yeah. We're talking about Toys R Us, Alan. And yeah, they went out a few years ago on their own. It didn't take the pandemic to do it. But a New York-based brand management firm that already owns Anne Klein and Joseph Aboud is taking a controlling stake in the parent company of the iconic Toys R Us and Babies R Us brands. Yehuda Schmidman, co-founder, chairman, and CEO of WHP Global, declined to offer the terms of the financial agreement in the deal with True Kids Incorporated. He noted that the U.S. business will consist of both online and physical stores, though the strategy is still being worked out. But he believes that the U.S. business is a billion-dollar-plus opportunity. Could it be a shop in a shop? Could it be a pop-up store? Could it be an airport store? Said Schmidman, we're exploring it all. True Kids was formed in January 2019 when it acquired Toys R Us as intellectual property during its liquidation in 2018. Schmidman has been a vice president of True Kids since early 2019. The deal announced Monday comes nearly 2 months after the closure of the only two Toys R Us stores that were part of a small U.S. comeback attempt by the iconic toy chain. Both stores, which had opened in November of 2019, were based in malls. The move comes as physical stores, particularly mall-based locations, have been hurt by weak customer traffic amid the pandemic.
You know, I think they can make a resurgence because the competition for Toys R Us is either a big box store like a, you know, a Target or a Walmart, or they were individual toy store owners, and a lot of them are out of business as a result of Toys R Us. So maybe I think that there's a chance Toys R Us can come back, Rob.
Sure, Alan. You know, as long as they have the right stock for people to shop, and you know, if they have the right product mix, I think they'll do great. Because, you know, people like to still look at things, too. And, you know, it's buying online is great, but, you know, sometimes you need to touch and feel and see something before you buy it, especially something you've never had before. So,
especially if you're not sure what your child wants, you
right.
have to bring them to a store and have them look at a reasonable selection. Right now, we have our good news segment, which was inspired by my daughter's suggestion. So we're going to read a couple of the good news stories. Here's the first one. Today, and this is as of March 10th, the National Association of Realtors releases top 10 commercial real estate markets for 2021, and the city of Tucson made that list. The NAR, National Association of Realtors, says it selected the top 10 markets in the United States after considering 25 indicators on an area's economic, demographic, housing and commercial market conditions in the multifamily, office, industrial, retail, and hotel property segments. The Phoenix area also made the NAR's list, making Arizona the only state with multiple cities in the top 10. Some of the indicators include gross domestic product growth, unemployment rate, median household income, consumer spending, number of business openings, population growth, homeownership rate, rental vacancy rate, building permits, and apartment rent, among other variables. So that was good news for us, don't you think, Rob?
Sure, Alan. You know, and real estate's been really going gangbusters, and hopefully it'll continue. So, yeah, that's good news. So hopefully it'll lead us back. Real estate has always led us back in the past.
Here's another typical good news story. I get this from the Good News Network. It reads, when duty calls, Buzz Lightyear is honor-bound to answer. At least that's what one mom told her distraught toddler when he accidentally left his Buzz action figure back on an airplane in the flurry of an unexpected last-minute trip. While the senior members of the Davis family didn't expect to see Buzz again, the plucky astronaut made the return home in style thanks to outstanding efforts by the Southwest Airlines ground crew at Clinton National Airport in Little Rock, Arkansas. Taking a cue from the Toy Story film, the Davises have inscribed their two-year-old son Hagen's name on the sole of Buzz's space boot. After finding the misplaced space adventure during her routine post-flight check, operations agent Beth Buchanan was able to match the name with an Elk Grove, California boy that was on the passenger list. While Buchanan was sleuthing, co-worker Jason Hamm saw Buzz sitting on her desk, and with the owner's identity confirmed, the ramp agent made its mission to get Buzz back where he belonged, reached out to the Davises via email and let them know that Commander Lightyear would soon be California-bound, and was not content to send Buzz home in a boring box, so he decided to take things to the next level, and rather than leave the astronaut take off, he put it in a brightly decorated box highlighted with a string of memorial Toy Story quotes, and he just wrapped it up real nice. It's a great story, Rob.
It is nice. A nice story, and it's a nice thing that those folks are doing. So there's some good news out there, Alan. There's good people out there, and there's people out there helping others all the time.
I certainly agree, and you know, we certainly don't want to just read all the bad news all the time, so we're happy to do that segment as part of our show each week.
Absolutely. And if anybody out there has some good news they'd like to share, you know, please contact Alan or myself. We'd be happy to talk about it on our program. And we're here to help you. So please let us know.
Examples of that would be stores that are opening and businesses that are putting in new product lines and, you know, some expansion plans and maybe even stores reopening that were restaurants that were closed or whatever. We'd love to feature them on our show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So folks, please give us a call if there's anything out there you'd like to talk about.
I think I'd like to take our break early because we've got a lot in the next segment to talk about.
We
catch
do,
Catch us
Alan.
On the Internet. Catch us on the Internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. We're on KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
Water is the essence of life. Doesn't your family deserve the best? Give your family the best with the drinking water system from WaterTech. Our systems will provide you and your family with clean, healthy water, up to 25 gallons per day. A soft water system from WaterTech will help protect your plumbing, fixtures, will eliminate hard water minerals, and make your dishes and glasses sparkle. Give your family the gift of water from WaterTech.
WaterTech.
Providing service after the sale.
Since 1967.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I are owners and operators of Alan Shoes in Tucson. Rob, you know, we like to read stories and good stories about businesses in our community. Every once in a while, we have to read a bad story. Here's a story. It happened several weeks ago where one of our restaurants closed. And can you read that story?
I will, Alan. You know, it's been a year, and tens of thousands of businesses have shut their doors for good, and many small establishments that have managed to hang on are struggling every day to make it. No one knows this better than the Kings. On October 31st, 2019, Kenny and Nikki King opened the Sonoran Brunch Company on Kolb near 22nd. It's always been a dream of mine. I've been cooking since I was a kid, said Kenny. I started as a line cook at Finney's Landing and became the executive chef and then the general manager. It was kind of fortuitous because we sold the home that we were living in and moved in with our grandmother to take care of her, said Nikki. The two put their savings and souls into the restaurant. The menu is from both sides of the border, said Kenny. We call it Mexizona Fusion. They're a family that has persevered through a lot. We had 4 months until the official start of the pandemic, Kenny said. That greatly restricted them from receiving a small business loan from the PPP program. The pandemic apparently, according to state guidelines, hit January 31st, said Nikki. So it was very confusing to us because we had to show profit for 12 months before the pandemic when we were only open for roughly four. At the best of times, if a restaurant like Sonoran Brunch Company makes $10, the owners take home less than a dollar after supplies, labor, and operational costs. However, with the pandemic reducing the number of customers and increasing the cleaning and packaging costs, that slim margin disappears. We don't always take home paychecks, said Nikki. It was kind of an impossible decision, but it was either let our staff members go or close the restaurant. We had around 12 employees, and we are down to Nikki, myself, and our senior-most member, Joe, said Kenny. Nikki now works the phone, Uber Eats, and the drive-thru while Kenny cooks and Joe helps. The couple has closed the dining room and cut their hours of operation. They not only run a restaurant, they also teach and parent their two young children who come to work with them. The Kings say they are tremendously grateful for their loyal customers who have kept their business alive this long. We're in a difficult position where we are behind in our utilities, said Kenny. Each day that passes, it becomes increasingly hard. The Kings are taking it one day at a time, saving if they can take they can make it just through this pandemic, they can make it through anything. Our dream is to have Sonoran Brunch Company on each corner of the city, said Kenny. I would like to make everyone in Tucson know about it, said Nikki. So, these folks are out there struggling, and folks, try them out. Go to the Sonoran Brunch Company. Let's shop local, and let's shop with our local restaurants and local stores, and let's really do everything we can.
Well, here's a segment of business community that really isn't struggling. Actually, they're doing very well lately. It has to do with the recreational marijuana business. Can you update us on that, Rob?
Yeah, Alan, sales of recreational marijuana are surging at Arizona retailers after selling medical marijuana for nearly a decade now accommodate a crop of new customers. The state estimates could push revenue to $1 billion in 2 years. Dispensaries in the state started recreational sales January 22nd after Arizona became one of four states to legalize recreational marijuana in November. The Department of Health Services has issued more than 100 licenses for recreational sales, which totaled nearly $3 million in the first 10 days that they were open. As the industry grows, questions persist on how it will affect local governments in Arizona that receive taxes, business owners, the people who need jobs, and those who get them. Nationally and locally, the marijuana industry lags in race and gender equity and ownership and the workforce. Ownership, management, employees in the multi-billion dollar U.S. marijuana industry are overwhelmingly white. And there's an article in the Arizona Republic this morning, Alan, saying that Arizona is among the top states for jobs in the marijuana business, and there's a lot of jobs out there. So for folks that are looking for work, there's no better time right now. There's a lot of jobs. I know a lot of my clients are looking for help. They can't find help. And it's been a problem for many of them.
Yes, and as you know, I'm involved in a little hemp farm operation that we're trying to get going, and we're going to be hiring for farm help here really soon, and or at least looking for staff to hire. So, but we are aware of the situation, Rob, and you know, we just hope to be to make this business flourish here.
Well, it's
but
you know,
you
it's
also a- have a.
It's just interesting with the job situation, Alan, that there's so many people out of work, but there are so many businesses that can't find help. It just doesn't make sense. And I know a lot of my business clients are concerned about the $300 extra week unemployment people are getting, that it's incentivizing them to sit home, and that could be possible. So there's a lot of issues involved with that. But there's a lot of good-paying jobs out there for people if they really want to work. And I don't think there's any excuse anymore for people not wanting to work.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why the staffing situation is so difficult, but we are experiencing that also, and you know, it's just a difficult market right now for both employers and prospective employees. So we have to figure out ways to connect with each other better and make this work. But you have an article, so we can get to all of our articles here. You have an article about some stores closing from a national retailer, right?
Right, Alan. Yeah, Walt Disney Company will close dozens of retail stores in North America this year as the company had to focus on digital shopping platforms to sell merchandise during the pandemic. Disney is also evaluating its significant reduction in stores in Europe, according to a Disney spokesperson. Adding retail locations in Japan and China will be unaffected. Disney currently operates about 300 retail locations worldwide and has not said how many people will lose their jobs as a result of these closures. Over the past few years, Disney has expanded its shops inside other retailers, such as Target. Those locations will continue to operate, as well as Disney Park stores. So, a little cutback there, Alan.
Yeah, we have a story here that's an unusual story, but it's very interesting about this person, and we have to have some sympathy over this person. I'm going to take the article, Rob. It's a serial stowaway who snuck onto 30 flights without a ticket over 19 years. She was arrested again after a TV interview where she said that she is retired. A woman who sneaks onto 30 flights without a ticket over 19 years has been arrested 2 days after giving the TV interview, and after she was just said during the interview that she was done with the illegal practice. Marilyn Hartman was obtained at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, and this is after she left her residential facility around noon. She was electronically monitored after breaking the terms of her probation of the same crime at the same airport in 2019, so the facility staff immediately began searching for her. Hartman announced her retirement for the illegal practice during a CBS News interview 2 days earlier, and they caught her again, Rob. It's interesting, but she obviously has an obsession, and we feel for her, but it's an interesting story.
Takes all kinds, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to say what motivates people, but there might be some mental illness involved.
I'm sure there's a touch of that going on in that situation. Absolutely. And
so now we have the "What Were They Thinking" segment, Rob, so that we can finish that off with a few articles. Can you read about the Southwest pilot?
Yeah, this guy did himself a real favor. A ranting Southwest Airlines pilot was caught on hot mic at Mineta San Jose International Airport, slamming the San Francisco Bay Area's, I can't use these words, Alan, liberals and weirdos. And I will not say any more about his description of those folks, because we can't say that. This is radio and it's a family station. Southwest confirmed to the San Francisco Chronicle that the pilot was indeed one of theirs and that the company was dealing with the issue internally. Southwest did not reveal the pilot's identity. The expletive-riddled tirade occurred March 13th and was first reported by travel site One Mile at a Time. It was initially revealed in a tweet by Will Lawton, a private pilot based in San Jose, who routinely listens to air traffic control chatter on live ATC. The first jolting remark from the Southwest flight was an extremely angry something this place. I can't say that word. Lawton deduced the plane and the airline from the communications. So I would say that this pilot's probably going to be looking for work here real soon, Alan.
It's a pretty good paying job that you work years and years of your entire life to earn. And it's seniority at your airline, and he's certainly paid a high price, but I'm not saying it isn't without cause.
Yeah, it's going to cost him. And so Rob Letterman, a morning radio host in Buffalo, New York, is out of a job, and others have been suspended after an on-air exchange comparing the skin tones of prominent black women to toaster settings. In a 45-second audio clip of the Morning Bull show on 97 Rock, tweeted by ESPN reporter Marcel Jock, Letterman has heard saying those things. So Letterman lost his job, as did all the hosts of the program, Alan. And one of the hosts also was a hockey announcer. He lost his job. So, you know, people just can't do these things anymore, Alan. You just can't do them.
No, they can't. What were they thinking is that segment.
Exactly. What were they thinking?
Catch us on the internet, where we have a website at btobtucson.com, btobtucson.com. We have all our shows on there. We have bios of our guests, and we'd love you to visit our website. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. This has been Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KBOI 1030 AM The Voice. This is Alan McCloskey.
And Rob Davidson. Have a great week, everyone.